Hello, podcast listeners. This is your host, Ryan Van Wyk, speaking with another episode. We're up to 61 now. Eventually down the line, I would like to add another person on the podcast to make it more interesting. But there's a few things to get to today. I was supposed to have an interview at noon with the Meyer and Hyland, but obviously that was canceled due to the fact my human resources lady at the Meyer that I work at, Kathira, I work at the Maribel Meyer, and they canceled my appointment for today because they thought I was a new hire, and I eventually wasn't a new hire. So they canceled the appointment, and so I'm not going today, which pissed me off. I was hoping to get off a couch, and I'm gonna have to fucking wait. My mom was trying to order her wheelchair a couple days ago, and for some reason she tried to order it from Walgreens or CVS, and she ordered it twice, and they reversed the charges, meaning they must either be out of stock, or something like that. I don't know why. So she ordered one from Walmart today, and supposedly it's supposed to be in next week. the Cubs have been kind of on a roll for the last week or so. They were able to take two games against St. Louis out of the three, and then they took yesterday's game against Pittsburgh. Jock Peterson, who the Cubs had signed for this year, it's starting to heat up a little bit. He hit two homers yesterday. And also Craig Kimball for the Cubs got the save yesterday, and not just that, he got his first win in a Cubs uniform in almost in the 3 years he had pitched there. But his last win came in 2018 when he had pitched for Boston, so it took him almost 4 years to get another win. And I'm actually kind of happy he got that win because he actually earned it. Now, I had to reorder another tripod because the tripod I had ordered off Amazon, I think, was it last week? They sent it to me all broken. And, the one I got from Best Buy the other day was actually put together. I have to take a picture of it to show my podcast listeners and fans that listen to my YouTube videos and Instagram videos, could see what it actually looks like. excuse me. And, there wasn't really much else to talk about. So basically, if what Walmart says is true, my mom's wheelchair will be in sometime next week on the 4th. And we're trying to do that because we're trying to go on vacation in the next few weeks. So hopefully we'll have the wheelchair before then. And of course, I didn't want to have to cancel my vacation because it's during the week of my birthday. My mom got her first COVID shot yesterday, and I got my second. So I'm fully vaxxed, and Meyer will give me my $100, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. So my $100 will be included in my check. My mom doesn't get the $100 because she doesn't work for Meyer in itself, but she only got the first COVID shot yesterday because I kept pestering her to take it. So at least that's a good thing that she did it that way. Let's go check out some news stories here. There was supposed to be some San Jose rally yesterday where some people got shot. Let's see how many people got killed in this. Man, at 6:34 in the morning, it's too fucking early to start that shit. It doesn't say if anybody died, but it says there was multiple people that were, well, it says multiple people were killed, but it doesn't give you an estimate. I don't know what you guys think, but there have been rumors about supposedly more stimulus money coming in, if that was going to be the case. Some people say that it should be retroactive back to when the pandemic first started, and people were saying that they should send out the $2,000, which I agree with, but it's only if Biden can get that pushed through. And I don't know what it is about TikTok, but people keep using TikTok. I don't use TikTok at all. And Memorial Day is coming up, I think, on Monday. Supposedly, Meyer basically, they do holiday pay for all the holidays. Like, we get holiday pay for New Year's, Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. So basically, in order to get the holiday pay, you gotta be at Meijer for at least 6 months, if not longer, or you have to work the day before or the day after the holiday to get it. Since I work Sunday, but I'm off Monday, I will still get holiday pay no matter what. And it would be included in my check for not the Thursday that's coming up next week, but the week after. That's gonna be too much money for anybody to spend. Supposedly Disney's got some sandwich that they're advertising, and I would not pay that amount of money for the amount that they're asking, because it's too fucking much. And according to this, sometime in June, Disney's gonna put out a new sandwich, and it cost an eye-popping $100. But there's a more expensive item on this menu. Yeah, I wouldn't even spend a fucking $100 on a fucking sandwich. I said this shouldn't even cost that much. That's not saying what the sandwich is. Okay, so according to this, it says ready to fork over $100. That's how much it will cost to purchase the newest sandwich at the Disneyland Resort. The new offering has already been dubbed as one of the most expensive sandwiches in the world, which is likely one of the reasons it's in existence. It's going to be offered at the Pym Test Kitchen, a new restaurant that opens on June 4th, along with the Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventure Park. The new section of the park is based off the Avengers films from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Pym Test Kitchen, in particular, is based on the scientists featured in the Ant-Man films. In the movies, Hank Pym, I think that's how I'm saying it right, P-Y-M, and Janet Van Dyne develop technology that can cause objects to shrink or grow in size. Like many of the other items on the restaurant's menu, the $100 family size sandwich is extra extra large, and therein lies the catch. According to Disney, it's not what's in the sandwich that makes it cost so much; it's because it's meant to serve 6 to 8 people. Disney has been moving towards Instagram, the Instagram ready, FB, basically Facebook, I'm not sure if that's actually FB stands for Facebook or not. 28% of the food for quite some time, said Len Testa. And Len Testa, who's president of the travel website Touring Plans, it says, take a look at any of their snack offerings and you can see what the kitchen thinks looks good is at least as important as the taste. So what's in the sandwich? The panini features salami, rosemary ham, provolone, and sun-dried tomato spread focaccia, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, along with the marinara dipping sauce, potato bites, and an arugula salad, if I'm not saying that right either. Anyone looking to try the sandwich who doesn't have an entire family to feed can purchase a scaled down version of the sandwich for $15. Other items on the restaurant's menu includes a not so little chicken sandwich, which features an entire fried chicken breast, and a Caesar salad that comes with a single enormous crouton. While the panini is $100 price tag may be eye popping, it doesn't make for the most expensive meal at Disneyland Resort. At Steakhouse 55, a fine dining restaurant at Disneyland Hotel that's still temporarily closed due to the pandemic, the diners typically can purchase a $138 38-ounce porterhouse steak that serves two people. And over at Walt Disney World in Florida, the Takumi Tei restaurant in the Japan Pavilion at the Epcot theme park has multiple item menus that top over $100, including a tenderloin sushi service. Like Steakhouse 55, the Takumi Tei remains closed at this time. But the Pym Test Kitchen, unlike Steakhouse 55 and the Takumi Tei, is a counter service restaurant rather than a table service eatery. It's fast food, Testa said, adding that in that category of restaurants, the next most expensive thing in the Disney theme park seems to be either the pot roast or the chicken platter at the Plaza Inn in Disneyland, which is just under $20. But visitors with even more cash to burn could consider dining at Disneyland's 21 Royal, an exclusive restaurant located in the New Orleans Square section of the theme park. Reservations at that restaurant reportedly cost about $15,000, or around $1,250 per person. And the actual most expensive sandwich in the world, and that honor, according to Guinness Book of World Records, goes to the $214 quintessential grilled cheese from New York restaurant Serendipity 3, which is made with Dom Perignon champagne and gold flakes. Yeah, I wouldn't even spend that fucking much on shit like that. It's fucking ridiculous. Who the fuck would want to spend $100 on a goddamn sandwich? Somebody got pissed off. A neighbor shoots at a couple's home because he was not invited for game night. Fucking pathetic. This is just a short story, but it says here, a game night snub ended with a man shooting up a couple's home, Georgia authorities say. Cody Demet is accused of firing multiple rounds into his neighbor's home after he was denied entry to their party Saturday night, according to Cobb County Police. Demet is now wanted on charges of aggravated assault. Officers arrived at the Marietta home around 11:30 p.m. and they found a man suffering from a gunshot wound to his shoulder, police said. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment and is expected to be okay. A neighbor at the party told the WSB-TV that Demet was asked to leave because he wasn't invited to the couple's game night, and Demet returned a short time later and opened fire on the couple. He basically they said, I heard the shotgun recock and blast again, a neighbor told the news station. At that point, I went to check on my family, and I told them, go into the furthest room in the back, and Demet fled before officers arrived, and authorities said, but anyone with information on Demet's whereabouts is asked to call Cobb County. And then it gives a number to call. People are just too damn sensitive nowadays when being turned down. If you happen to watch all the Trump videos lately, there were several videos I saw, pertaining to his daughter, the dumb bimbo, his daughter wife Ivanka, she was trying to play stupid, which actually isn't that hard to do when all Trumps are fucking stupid anyway. She tried to play stupid. She was being investigated for ties with Alan Weisselberg, who has worked with Donald Trump's businesses for like over 50 years. So she knows who the fuck he is. And she tried to claim, oh, she didn't know. I said, yeah, bullshit, bitch. Let's see here. Cargo handlers have been arrested after stealing gold bars from an international airport in Los Angeles. Two men have been arrested for allegedly stealing gold bars while working as cargo handlers at a Los Angeles International Airport, federal prosecutors have said. Marlon Moody, 38, and Brian Benson, 35, both of Los Angeles, were taken into custody without incident on Tuesday morning by agents with the FBI. Both men were charged with conspiracy as well as theft of interstate and foreign shipment, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California. It was not immediately clear whether they had obtained attorneys who could speak on their behalf. In a federal grand jury indictment that was filed Tuesday, prosecutors had alleged that Moody and Benson snatched the gold bars last year while they were working for the Alliance Ground International, which is a Miami-based private company that provides airline cargo handling services at 13 different airports across the country, including Los Angeles. It was unclear whether Moody and Benson were still employees of the Alliance Ground International, but ABC News has reached out to the company for comment. On the evening of April 22nd of 2020, which is when it happened last year, a shipment of about 2,000 gold bars, each weighing about 2 pounds, and they were valued at about $56,000 apiece, they arrived at Los Angeles International Airport on a Singapore Airlines flight. The gold was being shipped by a Canadian bank from Australia to New York with a layover in Los Angeles, according to prosecutors. The shipment was offloaded and secured at the airline's on-site cargo warehouse with an inventory later, that night showed one box containing only 25 gold bars was missing. The next morning, Moody allegedly found the lost box near the warehouse and put it on the belt loader before driving the vehicle to a nearby location, where prosecutors said he took 4 gold bars from the box. Benson picked up Moody in a company van, and the two men exchanged text messages about the gold because other employees were with them, according to prosecutors. The pair left the airport later that day and went to a nearby parking lot where prosecutors said Moody gave Benson one of the 4 gold bars, and the lost box with the 21 remaining gold bars was later found by the other cargo handlers, and authorities launched an investigation that ultimately led them to arresting Moody and Benson. Moody allegedly gave 1 gold bar to a relative and buried the other 2 in the backyard of his home, but the FBI has since recovered all 4 gold bars, according to them. Both Moody and Benson were expected to make their initial appearances at the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California in downtown Los Angeles on Tuesday. If they're found guilty, they could face up to 15 years in a federal prison if convicted on all charges. I guess they won't do stupid shit like that again. A second man is arrested in an attack on a Jewish man in Los Angeles. Damn, why is it always Los Angeles doing stupid shit out there? Or at least not always, anyway. Let's see what else I got here. The NBA has fined Dallas Mavericks power forward Kristaps Porzingis $50,000 for visiting a club after the game one win over Clippers. Basically, they're supposed to be keeping social distancing and not going anywhere that has loud crowds, or like large crowds. The NBA had fined Dallas Mavericks center Kristaps Porzingis $50,000 on Tuesday after he apparently went to a club in Los Angeles after their first playoff win on Saturday. Porzingis, the league said, attended a club on Saturday. Sunday, one day after Dallas beat the Los Angeles Clippers 113-106 in Game 1 of their opening round playoff series at the Staples Center. According to NBA rules, players are prohibited from going into any bar, club, lounge, or similar establishment regardless of the player's vaccination status. Porzingis will be available to play in Game 2 of the series on Tuesday night, as the leagues determined that his attendance at the club did not create risks related to the spread of COVID-19, but it is unclear if Porzingis had received a coronavirus shot. Porzingis had dropped 14 points and had 4 rebounds in that win, which still isn't bad. The 25-year-old is averaging about 20 points and 8 rebounds, almost 9 rebounds per game this season. The Mavericks were listed as a plus 120 to win the series ahead of Game 2. Almost instantly, fans started comparing Porzingis' violation to the arrogant queen LeBron's recent violation, which LeBron had attended Drake's some concert that Drake was doing, and he didn't receive a penalty or a violation, which is bullshit. The Los Angeles Lakers flopper had reportedly attended an event promoting a tequila brand alongside the rapper Drake and actor Michael B. Jordan before their play-in game against the Golden State Warriors, which violated the NBA's coronavirus protocols. The NBA declined to punish him in any way, which immediately drew criticism for what many saw as a fucking double standard. The league issued a statement clarifying why he wasn't suspended or fined on Monday, saying that he briefly attended an outdoor event where participants were required to be vaccinated or return a negative test result. The NBA also said that there have been other similar instances this season, basically, but it did not say what those reasons were. The club that Porzingis attended almost certainly was not regulated in the way that the event James attended was, hence the fine from the league. Yeah, but that's a fucking double standard, fucking full of bullshit. If the arrogant queen still violated the terms of the social distance and everything, he should have been fucking fined. But obviously, you know the NBA is not going to fine their precious little fucking arrogant queen. And I think I'm pushing up on, where am I at here? On Twitter. I was looking at some of my Twitter stuff earlier, but let's see what I'm up to here. Some of these fucking people are idiots. I keep reading tweets on Twitter, and people were saying, "Oh, they're not going to get the shot. They're not going to get the COVID shot because there's a tracker in it," which there isn't. But what they fail to realize is that their phone and tablet that they have, or iPad that they have, is tracking them anyway. So they're fucking stupid. How my phone tracks everything I do, and so does my tablet. So I know they're tracking me. So I know damn well that there isn't a tracker in the fucking vaccine virus. And I'm up to 4,108 tweets. That's not too bad. I'm gonna have to do a video on Instagram later on. If I... Let's see. I don't know what it is, but I have more of a following on Instagram than I do on, YouTube. I just got my haircut, too, so my haircut was actually pretty good. My original intent was my haircut was done because I was expecting to go to the, to the interview today. Obviously, that didn't happen. The guy hasn't called me to see, but the guy hasn't called me because usually they would have called me if I was running late, but obviously, I didn't get the message until yesterday that they canceled my, interview. When I did my COVID shot yesterday, I gave the card to my HR person, Kathira, so that she could take a picture of it, and she said, okay, she's like, since you got your COVID shot, she says you're, she said the $100 bonus won't be in this Thursday's check, but it'll be in next Thursday's. And then I said something about the interview, and she didn't correct me or say anything when I said I was still going to do the interview. And then it wasn't until one of the managers that was working night shift yesterday, Tom, told me, oh, you, don't go to the interview tomorrow. I said, why not? She says, they're not going to be expecting you. She's like, he says, they thought you were a new hire, but you're not. And then he started going on about internal and external hires. I don't know what the fuck that even means. I can never distinguish between the two. But he said they thought that it was a new hire. That's why he told me not to go. So my haircut, even though I still needed my haircut, it basically was a waste in point now because now I don't have to go to this fucking interview I was hoping to go to. Yeah, but when I do take my vacation on June 22nd, it's supposed to be for 4 days. My brother was trying to come out for a couple days in advance. He's going to the Sox game today, but he also has to work today, too. The difference between me and my brother is that he's a Sox fan, I'm a Cubs fan. I don't know how the fuck he ever turned out to be a Sox fan anyway, because the Sox fucking suck. Let's see what they're saying on this one. And basically, all the Republicans, fucking dumbasses, they're just relentless on this fucking audits and everything. I said, no matter what, you fucking rednecks. I said, these fucking audits is not going to change the result that Trump lost. I said they've already done four different counts in Arizona. All each one turned out to be a win for Biden. Same thing with Georgia. Same thing with Pennsylvania. I said, so what's the fucking point of doing this when you know damn well, basically Biden had won the county of Arizona in 2020, but Trump and the GOP claimed that votes were stolen to let Biden win, which was not the case. Arizona's GOP commissioned an audit of 2.1 million ballots in the 2020 election in Maricopa County. Wake TSI hired to run the recount let its contract expire, an official told the Arizona Republic. A tech company hired to run the hand recount of 2020 election ballots in Arizona's Maricopa County backed out of the effort. The Arizona Republic reported on Tuesday. The company, Wake Technology Services, began recounting some 2.1 million ballots on April 23rd in an audit commissioned by the GOP-led state Senate. The Republican Party and the former squatter Donald Trump have claimed that the votes were stolen for him in the November election, which they weren't. Joe Biden won Maricopa County by more than 45,000 votes. The state Senate hired Cyber Ninjas. And technically with Cyber Ninjas, they don't have any experience in doing audits, so they're not qualified. A Florida company run by a Trump supporter, or Trump sycophant, more like it, to conduct the audit. Cyber Ninjas contracted the Wake TSI to count the votes. The recount is still underway, but Wake TSI's contract ended on May 14th, the same day the hand recount was expected to conclude. The company chose to let the contract expire, Randy Pollan, an Audit spokesperson, told the Arizona Republic. They were done, Pollan said, but they didn't want to come back. Wake TSI did not immediately respond to insiders' requests for comment, but Pollan had told the Arizona Republic that the Strat Tech Solutions, an Arizona IT company, had taken over Wake TSI's work on Monday. As of Monday, only about 500,000 of the 2.1 million votes had been recounted, according to the Qatar News. And critics have pointed out several missteps in the audit, and some lawmakers, including Republicans, have labeled it as a farce. Observers have described the audit as a sloppy and inconsistent, and its workers as chasing proof of conspiracy theories. The state representative Raquel Tehran, the chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, told Insider in April that the audit was a sham that was fomenting the big lie that the election was stolen, which it wasn't. But in early May, GOP State Senator Paul Boyer, who initially supported the audit, told the New York Times that it makes us look like fucking idiots, which it does, kind of in a way. Looking back, I didn't think it would be this ridiculous, he said. It's embarrassing to be a state senator at this fucking point. But earlier in May, auditors were ridiculed after an official said that they were using 5K cameras to check ballots for evidence of bamboo, which is fucking ridiculous. Following a far-fetched theory that thousands of ballots cast for Biden had been smuggled from Asia, which that wasn't true either. Also in May, Trump jumped on a claim that officials in Arizona had deleted an election base, which turned out to be false, because the state officials had refuted it, and the auditors later said that they had found those particular files. Trump just won't let it go that he fucking lost. And the only reason why he can't let it go is because he's considered to be a loser now, and Donald Trump cannot stand the fact that he's a fucking loser. Yep. According to Seth Rogen and this one actor, James Franco, they're actually good friends in real life, but Seth Rogen is cutting ties with James Franco right now because there have been rumors that James Franco was involved in some sex scandal thing, some sex scandal thing. And because Seth Rogen doesn't want to ruin his career as an actor and a comedian, he is basically distancing himself from his best friend, James Franco. So obviously, let's see how that works out, how long that distancing is going to last, and he doesn't want to put himself anywhere between anything that could ruin his career. What the hell is this here? That's something I don't need. But I'll be so happy when I'll be so happy when this actual thing goes over for the virus, and then we can do away with the masks, because I hate wearing those fucking things. Man, nobody's fucking safe anymore. God damn. Basically, a guy basically was helping his friend out change his tire when somebody came out of nowhere and they shot him. I was like, man, nobody's fucking safe anymore. I'm trying to think of what else we got here. God, they're back together again after he cheated on her the first time. I said, that's fucking ridiculous. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are back to dating after, basically he cheated on her the first time around, and they broke up, and now he's back with her. I guess some people just fucking never learn. One of the worst empires, Joe West, basically had set a record for empiring the most games, and what do you expect? He was booed because he's one of the worst empires. But here's the story about it here. There's nothing like the life of an empire. Joe West, basically, I wouldn't say the greatest and the most emotional night of his career, he broke the all-time record by umpiring his 5,376 game as an umpire Tuesday. In the moment he steps onto the field before the St. Louis Cardinals, or St. Louis Cocksuckers is what it should be called, and the Chicago White Sox game, he's obviously booed. "What did you expect?" said James Bond, his childhood friend from Greenville, North Carolina. "It's emotional for all of us, but not for the fans or players." The moment a video tribute ended at Guaranteed Rate Field, a teenager stood in the aisle and yelled, "Joe West, he's the worst fucking umpire I've ever seen, and he's right about that, because I've seen him umpire a lot of games, and he is horrible." Yep, just another testament to West's longevity, and either his popularity or notoriety, depending on which way you choose to view it. But can anyone else even name five umpires? Said Charlie Hodgie, who is West's longtime friend who traveled from Destin, Florida, and how about three, anyone besides the worst umpire Joe West? "He's got to be the most famous umpire in history, really not, he's hated, because he can't fucking see right." Well, judging from the turnout for West, who can dare argue? When you got everyone from 14-time Grammy winner singer Emmylou Harris, to Chicago Bears Super Bowl champion quarterback Jim McMahon, to Commissioner Rob Manfred, and former Commissioner Peter Uberoff, to the famous San Diego chicken on hand, you've been doing something right. Manfred and Uberoff stepped into the umpire's room and surprised West, where he appeared genuinely moved. The White Sox chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Cincinnati Reds advisor Walt Jocketty stopped in, too, personally congratulating West. He says, "I don't have any enemies in baseball," West says, "but I'll outlive them all." Technically, you do got enemies. Those are the baseball fans, because you don't know how to fucking call the game right. The umpiring crew then walked through the tunnel for the playing of the national anthem that was sung by the Oak Ridge Boys, who have known West for over 40 years. West and his umpiring crew took the field as "Elvira" by the Oak Ridge Boys blared on the loudspeakers. Three of the four umpires looked toward the stands behind home plate that was filled with current and retired umpires, supervisors, and family members, and they waved. Then came Cole and the Gang's celebration over the speakers while the scoreboard acknowledged West's achievement. West, who was wearing a gold chest protector, looked straight ahead, shuffling his feet across home plate while cameras flashed around him. The Cardinals pitcher, 16-year starter Adam Wainwright, had broke the ice and walked over and shook his hand and congratulated West. And by the end of the night, West says that there wasn't a single player who didn't say congratulations, with Cardinals pitching coach Mike Maddox even hanging around a little longer on the mound just to say hello to West. Then everyone had turned their attention to the center field scoreboard, where it informed fans that West was breaking the record for most games that had stood for 80 years, if not longer. The tribute started with award-winning country singer Garth Brooks paying homage, followed by retired umpire Bruce Froemming, longtime umpire Jerry Davis, retired umpire Steve Ripley, and retired umpire Jerry Crawford. The group of about 130 friends and family sitting in section of 129 had gave West a rousing standing ovation, which was soon joined by other fans in the area, but West heard the noise, looked up, and touched his hat. Yeah, but no matter what, he's still the worst umpire in fucking baseball. I've never liked Joe West. I said the guy was horrible. Come on. Fucking piece of shit. God damn it. Man, I think my fucking thing just froze and now I don't know how to do it. Sometimes these fucking tablets are a pain in the ass. Even though it works good when it wants to, even though it's newer to me because I've never had it before. Turn that off. This one here too. Exit out of that one. Come on, you fucking piece of shit. I don't know why the hell that's up here, but obviously that shouldn't be. Let's close out of that one. Let's see here. There's also been a petition that's been filed. Over 60,000 people had signed it, and the petition was to basically remove Marjorie Traitor Greene from Congress due to her insensitive Holocaust comments. So basically, they've been trying to remove her, and I want to put my name on that petition, because I'm all for removing her. Oh shit, hold on. Let's go do this one here. I don't know if anybody wants to believe in aliens. I said I haven't seen enough proof of that yet. I'm looking for other news stories. I still haven't decided whether I would want to invest in crypto or Bitcoin, even though people keep talking about it. I'm still hesitant. I have to know more about it before I can even decide. Of course, Trump is pissed off because in New York, obviously, they're investigating him for crimes that he committed out there. And he's pissed off because he doesn't like being investigated. But that's not our fucking problem. I said, you committed crimes, you're going to be investigated, you fucking badass. John Warner, who was a longtime U.S. Senator from Virginia, just died. He was 94 years old. Supposedly he died from complications due to heart failure. Of course, at that age, it's common. And coming out of New Hampshire, and this is totally true because I agree with this, the Wyndham, New Hampshire election audit has revealed that they have found no evidence of widespread fraud, according to one of the election officials that was tasked with leading it. The audit, which is focused on a state representative race, began after the losing candidate requested a recount last November, which showed different vote totals for the candidates. The original count and the recount, nothing has ever been changed. Who gets elected? Said Harry Hursky, who's one member of the 3-person team leading the audit. This is an exercise of finding what caused the error, but the 4 winners have all from day one remained to be the same 4 winners, and that has never threatened that. And again, if there had been a widespread fraud, which would have been uncovered. In this, it would have come out, and there was none. The auditors have speculated that the folds and ballots could be to blame for discrepancies. But if someone voted for all 4 Republican candidates, and the ballot happened to have its fold line going through St. Lawrence on target, then that might be interpreted by the machines as an overvote, which would then subtract votes from each of those 4 Republican candidates, said Philip Stark, who's another member of the 3-person audit team, according to a March 17th report from WMUR9. Conversely, if there were not 4 votes already in that contest by the voter, a fold line through that target could have caused the machine to interpret it as a vote for St. Laurent. On Monday, Hursty said that as many as 60% of the ballots with handmade or machine-made folds were improperly counted by the town's 4 scanning machines. While the audit is still not being conducted for the 2020 presidential race, former squatter Donald Trump has praised its efforts. Congratulations to the great patriots of Wyndham. Technically, you guys are not considered patriots. New Hampshire for their incredible fight to seek out the truth on the massive election fraud which took place in New Hampshire. There wasn't any. Trump said on May 6th, but the spirit for transparency and justice is being displayed all over the county. by media outlets which did not represent the fake news, like Faux. Since the November election, Trump and his team have repeatedly claimed widespread fraud, stole his chance for a second term, but they have failed to provide any proof of it. Some of the former squatters, sycophants in New Hampshire are pushing for the 2020 presidential election to be audited, even though he lost a state by nearly 60,000 votes, and the state's four electoral college votes would not have been enough to change the results of the election anyway. But if we're here to count every single vote, that every vote matters, how come we're not recounting the presidential race in this election? Trump's longtime political ally and sycophant, Corey Lewandowski, asked at a recent event. And he just won't let it go. Yeah. Basically, Republican civil war erupts as Arizona officials audit the 2020 ballots. Let's see what goes on here. The first ever audit of the 2020 presidential vote in Maricopa County, Arizona, has set off a civil war that pits the Republican-led state Senate against the Democratic Party, and officials in charge of supervising statewide elections and also against the Republican officials dominate Maricopa County. Meanwhile, similar audits are starting this week in Georgia and New Hampshire, and it's provoking debates between Democrats and Republicans, basically among Republican officials themselves. While no audit is going to remove President Joe Biden from the White House, the stakes of this highly technical ballot integrity fight are high. The vote counting rules used in the 2020 congressional elections where the Democrats will defend a razor-thin majority of the 9 seats in the U.S. House and a 50-50 U.S. Senate deadlock Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris breaks ties. The U.S. House certified Biden as the election winner on January 6, 2021, foreclosing any legal challenges to that result. We need to discover what really happened in 2020. Technically, what really happened is that Trump lost, get the fuck over it, in order to fix the election in 2022 and beyond, said Patrick Brin, who's a supporter of the ballot audit and author of The Big Rig, a book about allegations of 2020 election irregularities, which there wasn't any. Brin had denied the audit as an attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election. It technically is. If the audit turns up that there is very good election integrity in Maricopa, then that tells us that all of our concerns are misguided. But if it turns out, as we expect it will be, that there is a great deal that shows the reality is quite different than what the numbers have presented, and then we have to look at all of the institutions that failed. Yeah, like Trump was a failure. Yep. Brin continues to tell his social media audience that fans of the former squatter Donald Trump will like the outcome. Actually, they won't, because he's still going to show up losing. Basically, Brent suggested it's possible that Trump will return to the White House soon, which he won't. The Maricopa County audit was delayed for a week due to a graduation ceremony scheduled for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix, and it is expected to continue well into June. While the Maricopa County votes have been recounted twice before, the Arizona audit now underway is not technically a recount, but it would check the totals against the ballots cast, and neither of the two recounts found any significant irregularities, so that means Biden still wins no matter what. Instead, the current audit examines two broader questions: whether each individual voter was legally permitted under state law to vote in the 2020 election, and whether all of the state's vote counting procedures for scanning, counting, and storing digital files were followed up at all. And there are no final results yet, though the debate is raging online and in the state Senate hearing rooms. Trump faulted Maricopa County Republicans and Republican Governor Doug Ducey. Why is he rushing to put a Democrat in office, he asked online in November, especially when so many horrible things concerning voter fraud are being revealed at the hearing going on and right now? I said there was no voter fraud, badass. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer had fired back. We can't indulge these fucking insane lies any longer as a party and as a state and as a country. Richer, who's a Republican, defeated a Democratic incumbent back in January. The audit is massive and massively controversial. Some 2.1 million ballots and 400 voting machines are being examined by the outside auditors under the direction of the state Senate. The audit has so far not really uncovered both potentially legal votes and some lapses in official vote counting basically on the official vote collecting procedures, but according to Republican state Senate officials, meanwhile, the Republican officials in Maricopa County Board of Supervisors have denied any procedural shortcomings in an 11-page letter that was sent this past week. Since the county demanded that the state Senate preserves all documents and contributor records, the county Republicans seem to be setting the stage for a lawsuit against the GOP-led state Senate. Due to the pandemic, elected officials and judges changed many rules regarding mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, and voting hours in the weeks and months before one of the most intensely fought presidential contests in American history. Due to the pandemic, elected officials and judges had changed many rules regarding the mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, and voting hours in the weeks and months before one of the most intensely fought presidential contests in American history. But since these charges largely didn't go through the state legislators and basically they were not widely covered by the press, the supporters of losing candidates, mainly Republicans, and most loudly former squatter Trump, have claimed that these procedural changes were illegitimate, which they weren't. State and federal judges have so far declined to hear, and they dismissed on procedural grounds more than 24 lawsuits. Now, in the wake of the Maricopa County audit, judges and state lawmakers are increasingly yielding to demands for similar examinations. A judge in Fulton County, Georgia, the most populous of Atlanta's three counties, recently ordered the unsealing of nearly 150,000 absentee ballots and announced plans to set strict rules for the ballot examination process. Similar efforts are set to start in a rural Michigan county and in a New Hampshire town that was once home to the former Trump sycophant Corey Lewandowski. And then it goes on and on and on. I said, but they just will not let this fucking shit go. I said, just fucking admit that Trump lost, and then you can bounce up and down on his dick later on. I said, now it's time for you to stop, jump. Now it's time for you to jump off his dick and go bounce up and down on somebody else's. But yeah.